What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Trigger. This is Trigger number 549 here on Tuesday, February 25th. We're recording on Tuesday today because your boy Storm is going to Florida for 10 days tomorrow, so just a little housekeeping. There will be no episode next week. I need a little vacation, so going down to the free state of Florida. Will be nice and warm. I'm like this hole up here. So, but we do have a lot going on here in D.C., and all of it is good for us generally.
Yeah.
So, Kesh Patel, of course, was voted and confirmed as the director of the FBI. What a great momentous occasion it is for us with this.
God, got a real FBI director now.
Of course, the two up on the Senate side, Murkowski and Collins, voted no. Surprisingly, McCain 2.0, as I call him. I was about to say something worse. the guy could barely stand.
Yeah, but, I know.
McCain 2.0 voted for him,
yeah.
So that was surprising. Kesh Patel has also been appointed as the acting director of the ATF, which brings me some warm and fuzzies. And Dan Bongino named deputy FBI director. What an upgrade over the piece of Andrew McCabe and others of his ilk that have been there before. So, a dawning of a new day at the FBI, and we, of course, have Pam Bondi at DOJ, and things are changing there. Mm. So, the two standards of justice will be no more in this country. And hopefully we're going to have some real crime being stopped. Oh, did you see this story out of Houston again?
Oh, there might be a tranny shooter, right? That one?
No. They weren't trannies.
Oh, they
were teenagers.
Oh, okay. Oh, they were teenagers.
But the Houston FBI office stopped a second plot. Believed it was going to be a basically a terror attack on police officers.
Oh,
that broke yesterday.
Like, Similar to Dallas?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. I'm like, so this raises a lot of questions. One, I mean, what was the FBI doing before? Or were they just not publicizing this as much as like we are with stopping real crime here?
Yeah.
But like those two so close together in Houston?
Yeah, not good.
I mean, what's going on down there?
Not good. Well, I remember like a third of the bureau was devoted to all this J6 stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they took their eye off the ball off that, off the terror threats, off of child sex trafficking rings. Like a lot of pedophiles were just allowed to skate by because you have to get the grandmother who's dying of cancer who was walking around the Capitol on that day.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, it's there's a lot going on with the FBI, DOJ, some firings, a bunch of resignations, and that's going to continue. Like, I just don't understand the screeching out of the Democrats lately about the firing of federal workers and the auditing of the federal budget. Like, this is exactly what President Trump was elected to do.
Yeah.
This wasn't some secret. Like,
They're uncovering all their grift. All the grift, man.
Well, yeah, and even beyond that, like,
yeah,
you know, you can't fire federal workers. Well, you can.
You can.
Yeah. Turns out you can. We just haven't. Yeah, at any point, although Obama did some cutting,
he did,
of the federal budget compared to like what Biden did, you know, like this is not a new idea.
No,
you know, God forbid the government shrinks a little bit. I mean, you know, and Senator Kennedy, who's always a goldmine of sound bites, take a listen to what he had to say on the Senate floor today.
It strikes me as breathtakingly ironic. The cynic might say cynical, that the people who are screaming so loudly about President Trump's decision to audit federal spending are the very same people under President Biden who wanted to hire 80,000 new IRS agents with guns to audit the American people. As I've said before, if it weren't for double standards, there wouldn't be any standards at all in this town.
And it's true. They're the ones who wanted to hire 80,000 IRS agents to audit everyday Americans.
Yeah.
So we can't audit the federal budget, which is a gazillion times higher than the average American's tax bill. I mean, it's just totally insane to me what these people are using as like argument points. And I'm like, well, you know, the judges are starting to rule on our side. Even Obama judges
Yeah.
are ruling that the administration can move ahead with layoffs, and that there's no essentially block against a culling of the federal government.
No.
And so the federal workers freaking out, and then of course, you know, the big story.
They should have took the payout. They had time.
They had time to take the buyout.
They didn't do it. They think that, you know, that this is like academia, like with tenure. Like, no, government employment should never have be viewed as a permanent contract.
Lifetime position, yeah. I mean, that's what they're viewed as. Ridiculous.
I mean, like, you know, they're interviewing all these people who are like, oh, my life is shattered, this, that. It's just like, no one gives a shit that your job has been put through the wood chipper. Millions of Americans have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
Millions. Yep. 16,000 Keystone, the financial collapse, COVID obliterated people. And you know what? They all got to stay at home and collect a paycheck. All those people did not. So where was their CBS News special? I don't see their interviews.
And then, God forbid, they're asked to justify their job and send in what they accomplished last week.
Yeah.
Because, of course, that set off an unprecedented freak out over the weekend.
They were given 2 days to come up with five things.
Yeah.
And they thought that this was some sort of intrusive, you know, audit. No, every business does this.
Yeah.
Every business does. Even some Hill offices do this.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
No,
are they that incapable of figuring out? Like, okay.
Well, the problem is...
Well, they don't do anything. Yeah,
exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They don't do anything.
Yeah. You know, if I didn't do anything and didn't report to my boss the running of this business and what I've been doing and keeping things moving forward, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And that's anyone that works a real job in the private sector. And so, you know, they say, what about the promise to federal workers of their job? There's no promise.
There shouldn't be a promise.
Right.
The hell is that? I mean, and also, I mean, maybe this is just my ignorance, but I had no idea that there was like a, you know, if you worked in the federal government after 3 years, you were like, you were given protected status.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the f- is that about?
No, yeah.
Can't be fired?
Yeah, it's insane. And, you know, I'm sure we have a couple federal workers who listen to this podcast, probably not a lot in Northern Virginia, but a couple, and hopefully you don't get fired. But, like, also, this, we knew this was coming. Like, yes, it wasn't a secret.
It's not a secret.
And so that's going to continue. Doge is on the march. I mean, I don't even know what the Doge counter is up to now, but it's got to be probably close to $100 billion.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at the U.S. debt clock.
Oh, yeah, because they had the Doge thing on there. Doge savings.
Yes. Yeah. Let's see. The Doge clock, $136 billion.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, like, that's not an insignificant sum of money. And, you know, in a town where they toss around trillions, essentially, like the default currency denominator, we need to get back to talking about billions and hundreds of billions. Because if you actually look at, if you have a pallet of cash and what that would be.
Yeah.
It's warehouses full of cash.
Yeah. It's like the Joker.
And that's what drives the inflation. It always went back to the crazy amount of spending we were doing, you know, $7 trillion in a year. That's insane.
Yeah.
When we're bringing in 4.5. I mean, you have to get that to at least neutral, if not a surplus, to start paying down this debt. I mean, the interest on the debt payments is our most expensive budget item.
Yeah.
More expensive than defense, Social Security. I mean, it's number one. And so that has to be changed. You know, that's unsustainable. That's how, like I've always talked about, you get to insolvency and essentially your economy collapses on itself. Like, if people don't think that that could happen, it could happen.
Yeah.
Like, look at what happened to, you know, countries like Greece and all these other countries that essentially collapsed economically.
Yeah.
Because of this type of look at what's happening in Japan. I mean, you could go down the list. And these are not third world whole African countries.
No.
Like, no, I mean, you know.
Although, like, Greece was also paying their retirees based on, like, I think a 412-day year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at Social Security. Yeah. We're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of Social Security mispayments and fraud that there is significant.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Social Security system was never built to withstand the age that people are living to these
days. No.
You know? And
it
so
was first instituted. The time between getting your first check and death was 2 years.
Yeah. And that's a system that needs to be reformed. And,
he's
you
not
know,
gonna do it, though.
I know Trump said he won't touch Social Security. And, you know, that's one of the main problems I have. Is like, you're going to have to eventually reform the entitlements in this country to be sustainable. And so we'll see what happens with that. But USAID is no more. They're gone. Shut down. Everyone fired. Judge ruled in our favor on that one. Customs and Border Patrol taking over the office space at the Ronald Reagan Building, which previously served as USAID headquarters.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing's happening at the Pentagon. They're preparing for cuts, not cuts to programs and important, you know, weapons programs and planes and stuff like that that actually benefit the national security of the United States, but things like DEI and administrative bloat. Like, the Pentagon is the largest office building in the world. There's people you can fire in there that aren't carrying their weight.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to fire people who are in charge of vital national security interests, and that's... You know, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
And I trust Hegseth and our new Joint Chiefs of Staff over there, because, of course, they got rid of Charlie Brown, which, by the way...
Funny name, I'm sorry.
Yeah, over the weekend...
I think of the cartoon.
Well, they fired a qualified black guy and put in an unqualified white guy. Well, first off...
The unqualified white guy is eminently qualified.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at it.
Exactly.
I mean,
and second,
guy was a
perhaps Charlie Brown, who... happened to be black,
shouldn't
have supported all this woke DEI bullshit.
Yeah. Like, which we
what
knew.
What do you expect?
Again, we knew this was going to happen. I mean, when he fired the commandant, it's the commandant of the Coast Guard, right?
Uh-huh.
When she got boot, you know, his resume and what he supported was put out there on top of possible purge lists, so he was going to be gone too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and over the weekend, it's a coup at the Pentagon.
Yeah,
and
coup at the Pentagon.
Constitutional crisis.
Yeah.
No, the president is well within his right to fire the Joint Chiefs of Staff and bring in whoever the f*** he wants. If he wants to bring in a janitor to that job, he could do it.
Yeah.
Like,
this isn't the first time that a president has fired generals.
Well,
Obama fired a bunch of generals.
Yeah. Do we remember the Obama purge? There's gonna be more. So constitutional crisis.
Yeah,
it's a coup.
Up.
Yeah, it's like it's just shut the f*** up.
Yeah.
And I
think most voters have done that. Like they don't care what they say, which is how the Trump White House is able to kind of like now kind of bar certain reporters from being at certain events, which is good. So
yeah, it's certainly. You know,
everyone's tired of it, man.
Exactly.
Everyone's like, no, we've been, you know, it's like we've, I feel like a lot of them are like, I remember Clinton. I remember Bush 41. I remember Reagan and Carter. They did this stuff.
Yeah.
People got fired.
Well, and I think that it also comes down to there's such fatigue over the liberal screeching against Trump.
Yeah.
And Trump's approval rating is well north of 50%.
It is.
And
don't believe the drip dips.
Yeah. And
they took the four most left wing polls out of that RCP aggregate to make that narrative, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
Just
like, I'm looking at this, I'm like, wait a minute.
and the people who voted for Trump are overwhelmingly in favor of everything he's doing.
Even Democrats. They love the Doge cuts. They love what Doge is doing.
Yeah, yeah. And they gotta cut faster and stronger.
The fact that they were saying that last week, and now this week, you know, Doge is now a liability for Trump and his approval ratings are dipping. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way in 6 days that happened.
Yeah. And you know, the business news that we're getting is great.
Oh,
Apple investing $500 billion over 4 years. I believe the Saudis are bringing in $600 billion to America.
20,000 new workers at Apple, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, none of this stuff could have happened under a Biden presidency. Because it would have been the job, you know, creating and investing climate is not that good with Democrats run things.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, it's just a fact.
Yeah. And, you know, you also had the SoftBank investment. I mean, there's so much happening positive for the economy.
Is that new total going to be allocated?
I believe so.
Remember that? It was like $100 billion.
I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know if that was real time. It was good theatrics, though. But
yeah. And I think that you're going to see a golden age of America, an economic boom, and that's going to lift everybody up. And we cut off the border is secure.
Oh, yeah.
There was, 200 entries, I think, the other day?
I think it's like
95%. It's a
15-year
low. Yeah. A 15-year low since the Obama administration.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
We just got to worry about the left-wing clowns that are now trying to disrupt the ICE raids, leaking the plans and doxing the agents.
Mm-hmm.
Which
is extremely dangerous,
it's incredibly
dangerous.
I mean, Tom Homan set it up perfectly. There's going to be a situation where one of these guys is not going to leave. And he's going to sit there with a bunch of guns in the basement and try to ambush the agents going into the house.
Yeah.
So, you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, the FBI and the DHS actually had two very good, strongly worded responses to this.
And ICE is taking down all kinds of criminal, illegal alien gangs, pedophiles, murderers, rapists. And the Democrats are crying over the deportation of these people. And average people in America are like, what?
Is that
what the bar is?
Especially like in states like Massachusetts, which has a penchant for releasing violent child sex predators. Illegal aliens, you know, Guatemalans, whatever. Well, one of them was a Guatemalan. But had, I think, several charges of aggravated sexual assault against a minor. They arrested him, they processed him, and then they released him into the wild. And then apparently, Bill Malugin reported on it, and apparently the response was, well, that's Massachusetts. When asked, you know, kind of like the open secret, so.
Well, and, you know, speaking of Massachusetts, in Boston, Tom Homan is training his targets onto Boston here. Take a listen to what he had to say.
I read a story last night, the police commissioner of Boston. You said you doubled down on not helping the law enforcement officers of ICE. I'm coming to Boston, I'm bringing hell with me.
Yeah, these Democrat-led sanctuary cities and states, you're not going to get away with this
anymore.
That
was a great speech.
It was a great speech. I don't give a shit what the leftist media says about me.
If you're offended, I don't give a shit.
You know, there's so many good stories of ICE rounding up these illegal alien criminals, notorious smugglers of human trafficking, and I mean, the list goes on and on.
And when this, well, we know what states are going to agree to this, but when they agreed to that DHS, or I should say, old INS statute, which allows local law enforcement to be, you know, immigration officers.
Yeah.
You know, the deportation force just got that much bigger. So.
Yep. And elsewhere in the illegal immigration fight, you know, going back to Trump's birthright citizenship executive order, which I always said was going
to
happen.
One of them's going to the Supreme Court. Yeah.
Well, this is going to the Supreme Court, and it's a very, very interesting constitutional question. It'll be interesting to see how the justices rule on this, and we're finally going to get an answer on this. You know, I could see them going either way. Roberts is always so unpredictable. Amy Coney Barrett is also kind of unpredictable, which I don't love. But you know, it's an important question to answer constitutionally: is do these illegal aliens that were born here have birthright citizenship? I obviously think no. I mean, that's an obvious answer, but, like, you know, at least we finally are going to get a ruling on it. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, I mean, the border is secure. It's
what we voted for.
Well, and but it's like, this could have been done the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
This just goes to prove that it was...
But still, remember, the Republicans wouldn't support Biden's spending bill, so, you know, he couldn't do anything about it.
Oh, the amnesty bill?
Oh, the amnesty bill. Yeah, the amnesty bill. Uh-huh. You know, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then, after that didn't resonate, it's Trump's fault.
Yes. For shooting down that amnesty bill, which was correct.
Because super, super right-wing conservatives also supported the bill, and it's like, it was Steve Langford.
Yeah. Yep.
I believe, right?
James Langford.
Steve Langford. He's the worst. That's the Howard 100 news report.
He's just a tick.
Yeah.
So you have the two who will go unnamed. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. The suicide.
Currently, now you have McCain 2.0, Mitch McConnell. And then just past that, Tom Tillis.
Yeah.
He's always at the top of the list of rhinos. And then James Langford.
You know what's funny is how McConnell used to rip Murkowski, especially on the Supreme Court nomination fight with Brett Kavanaugh.
Yep.
And now he's one of them. He's become one of them.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I really love is that all the recent Republican senators that we've brought in have been solid.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Bernie Moreno. McCormick a little bit, you know, to be determined on him, but Moreno's solid. Moreno wants to make English the official language of the United States, which I'm so here for. I love that. You know, those guys are solid, and so we need more of that, and we're going to get to replace Mitch McConnell because he is retiring, which we kind of alluded to last week. Yeah. I had heard some rumblings of that, and I think that night he came out and gave his speech.
Yeah, there's no way he can continue. I mean, look at
the guy. But really the only reason he's sticking around now is because of the Dem governor in Kentucky.
Oh, Andy, I hope all my political enemies get raped, Bashir.
He did, in fact, say that.
He did say that.
Yep. And so, you know, that's interesting. And but then, you know, there's a lot of stories coming out of the federal bureaucrats here working to subvert our agenda that almost 80 million Americans voted for in President Trump. CIA officers, are they plotting treason in response to Doge?
Yeah.
Apparently, CIA's seventh floor, which Ratcliffe needs to get this under control.
Yeah.
You know, some agency officers are quietly discussing how mass firings are creating a group of disgruntled former employees who might be motivated to take what they know to a foreign intelligence service. If they do that, these former CIA agents do that and leak our most vital national security secrets to a foreign adversary, they should be hung on the National Mall.
Yeah.
That's treason.
Yeah, it is treason.
Yeah,
it's what, remember during the first Trump presidency, it's what that nut job Keith Olbermann was hoping.
Yeah,
these people would do.
Yeah,
you got to leak because we got to stop Trump or get him out and whatnot. So yeah. These people are insane.
Oh, they're
just nuts.
Insane.
It's just like what the.
Yeah, they're insane. I mean, and I also heard that the FBI. Had agents destroying servers.
Yeah, that too.
Having to do with the Epstein files and JFK docs. And then you've been following this story.
Oh, God.
National Security Agency.
Oh, my God. National Security Agency, CIA, DIA people, too. There's a secret sex chat where all these people are talking about gangbangs, having hermaphroditic kids, pissing on each other, chopping their d*** off. And, of course, they hate libs of TikTok and Ben Shapiro and conservatives. Uh-huh. And apparently they have a random target. They don't really like Italian Americans for some reason, which is just
too far. Yeah.
Exactly. What the So they're having these group sex chats on government time. So I'm surprised in the last 4 years there hasn't been like a major 9/11 style attack because they totally could have done it. Because these people are too busy talking about gangbangs. It was reportedly, I guess, greenlit. I don't know who greenlit it, but it was one of those cockamamie DEI initiatives to foster inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So, deep state receipts we have now. We all knew the deep state hated us. We have the receipts. We have the screenshots.
Yeah.
And Chris Rufo and Hannah Grossman at the Manhattan Institute have found sources within the Intel network community to and gave them screenshots of the chats, which are wild. So, that's great. We got, you know, total depravity in all levels of government now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we always knew the deep state was going to fight back. And they are.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty confident that we're going to crush them this time with the likes of Ratcliffe, Cash Patel,
Tulsi,
Kristi Noem. All these guys are great.
Yeah, we don't have Tillerson-type people there anymore.
We have
good, loyal, competent, qualified people there. And they're going to, the CIA already said they're going to find out who the this person was talking about, you know, the business and everything.
Yeah.
They're going to fire him. So, you would have to think that the whole greenlit from someone up above had to have been, you know, the reason why they're on these government devices.
I can't think
that they would have it on their government device if it wasn't from approved from higher up.
Yeah.
So,
Who's
that person?
So, yeah, well, that's a good question.
I know. Basically, this entire show has been like we've basically had cause reasons for several hearings.
I
don't know if we're going to have that, but I mean, there should.
Well, there should be.
Or the sissy or something like that.
All right, a little smorgasbord segment here because there's a lot of news all over the place. We're going to we're going to just jump around here. The fire chief, the lesbian fire chief out in Los Angeles, has been fired.
The whole city should be fired.
Yeah, well, it was really the only reason she was fired was not because of the incompetency.
Yeah,
was because she dared to speak out against L.A. Mayor Karen Bass.
Broke out into the open as the things were raging. I remember.
Well, yeah,
I mean, she drafted memos saying you know, don't cut the funding. At the same time, she also pushed DEI. So
yeah,
no one's safe.
Yeah, but
in that fiasco,
the Pope is on death's door out at the Vatican.
Yeah,
you know, prayers for the Pope, but. I wouldn't certainly be upset if we get to replace him with a John Paul II type.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice resurgence of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got here? Oh, Joy Reid fired.
Gone.
Yep, her gone. Show has been canceled.
Cried like a little
because she stopped wearing her Trump wig. Also, Lester Holt, the liberal media continues to collapse. Yeah. He is also gone.
Well, you know, they don't got all that millions of dollars in USAID money now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Let's see. Over in Germany, they held their elections this weekend, and the Rhino Party essentially won over there. The conservatives, quote, that are not actually conservative.
Isn't that Merkel's party?
I think so. The actual right wing came in second, but it being excluded from a coalition governing.
Really? They excluded them?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
Because they think they're Nazis. That's basically
they think they're Nazis, think they're not.
They're basically like, we're proud of Germany, and we need to have a competent immigration policy. Apparently that's Nazism today, so it is what it is.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I mean, they're out of control over there, man. The police raids happen for people who post mean memes.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, the left generally got crushed.
Or the Linke.
There's going to be a resurgence of conservative governance across the world, I think. I mean, you're looking at the potential for... that in France, the UK, Canada. So we already have conservatives in Italy. Like, it's very interesting. Also, woke going to die at Disney.
Yeah.
The Kathleen Kennedy.
She's gone.
Yeah. South Park had that one right. Let's see. We got some interesting news in gubernatorial races coming up for 2026. Ohio will finally be rid of the cancer that is Mike DeWine. Vivek Ramaswamy is now the front runner there.
Good.
Receiving President Trump's endorsement. Down in Florida, Ron DeSantis will be ending his term at the conclusion of 2026. And it's looking like Byron Donalds is going to be the guy there. He has President Trump's endorsement. President Trump has not endorsed yet in the two races we have this year, which are here in Virginia, Commonwealth of Virginia, and in New Jersey. Ironic that both of our states are... the
odd
one
years.
Off year.
I know, odd years,
You know, I'm actually optimistic about New Jersey. And people may think I'm crazy for that, but, you know, keep an eye on that one. I think that'll be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, especially since Kamala, you know, I think that was... The margin of victory was, like, the smallest for a Democrat in a generation.
She barely won it.
It
was a small enough victory that, in a presidential year...
Presidential, yeah.
...that New Jersey would be close to being considered a purple state.
Yeah.
You know, Virginia has flip-flopped back and forth. Obviously, we have Governor Youngkin now. Too bad he can't run again. He's termed out. You only get one term in Virginia.
No, he can run again after 4 years, though.
Well, you can only have one consecutive term.
Yeah,
so
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
That,
yeah. Winsome Sears is going to be the candidate here, and she's great. The real question will be, what about Northern Virginia? Because there's going to be a backlash to Trump and his decimating of the federal government, and we'll see how many of those lib leave.
I think a lot of them will leave.
I hope so. The real estate listings are through the roof in Northern Virginia.
They are.
As are the searches in the D.C. area for lawyers and statute of limitations. I mean, it's a fact.
It is a fact,
so that's very interesting to see what's going on there. Let's see what else. Oh, Eye Patch McCain.
Oh,
one of my least favorite House members, Dan Crenshaw, was caught on a hot mic talking about Tucker Carlson. Take a listen.
Thank you. Have you ever met Tucker?
I mean, that's just despicable.
Yeah.
And it's all because Dan Crenshaw
wants to blow everything
loves
up.
to Ukraine.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. What else we got going on here? BBC. You wrote about this. So what happened there?
Okay, so you know BBC, notoriously anti-Israel,
pro-Hamas.
They had this documentary about life in the war zone, Gaza.
Yep.
And they featured this kid who apparently was the son of, like, the governor of Gaza, a top Hamas official, which they neglected to identify during the documentary. And it led to, you know, an investigative reporter found that out. They had to issue an apology and a clarification and said that future reruns it will have that this kid is, like, basically Hamas royalty.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Yeah.
There you go. BBC, as usual. Almost as bad as the AP.
Well, and speaking of the AP, I'm glad you brought them up. Yeah. The AP lost its initial lawsuit against President Trump for excluding them from Oval Office and Air Force One because of their ridiculous woke leftist agenda. particularly in their refusal to use the correct term, Gulf of America.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not going to get to visit the Gulf of America when I'm down in Florida this time, but maybe maybe sometime soon. I did want to dip my toe into that, just to say I did, but maybe we'll go back to Clearwater in the fall. But yeah, AP lost its initial lawsuit, and so very interestingly enough, in that ruling, it's just an initial ruling, the full case has to be heard. They basically denied the request for an immediate injunction and restraining order. But in that ruling, the judge said, and it remains to be seen whether the White House Correspondents Association, which is the association of libs that controls the White House press pool, should have unilateral control over such a thing. And there are First Amendment questions and all that. So then today, and that was last night that happened. So then today, Caroline Leavitt did a press briefing, and you can catch all important clips and news about that on Town Hall's X feed. She came out and announced that the White House Correspondents Association is no longer in charge of the White House press pool.
It's Independence Day.
and that they will be deciding, the White House will be deciding, who is in the pool. And now, you know, for those that are not in this, you know, bullshit journalism game that we are, the press pool is the group of journalists that travels with the president, right? So they essentially have, you know, access to Air Force One, and they go with the president wherever he goes. And those outlets are chosen on a rotating basis by the White House Correspondents Association, but no more. Now the White House will choose that, and remains to be seen if we will be brought into the press pool, but very possible. But yeah, it's always lib outlets.
Yeah.
And so that day has come and gone. And so that'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Back to the people.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, there's no reason that they should only choose from a small handful of liberal outlets when there are many conservative media outlets that do a better job reporting and reporting the facts and the truth. And we shouldn't be excluded from that. And so that's the dawning of a new day at the White House.
Influence is dying. It's a new era.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You gotta love it.
Yeah. You know, see, I mean, the liberal media these days is just outright out of control.
Well, they just can't get over the elections.
I guess.
They can't. They, 16 and 24, they just can't get over it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to tell them.
Well,
I mean, there's nothing to tell them.
I mean, it's CNN. It's such a cesspool. The only time I see it is when we put it out, because Scott Jennings destroys another leftist to their face, which he's doing multiple times a day at this point. And, you know, it's every time they're like, oh, it's a constitutional crisis, like, what are you talking about? One, it's clearly not.
Yeah.
But, you know, they love touting the norms and the institutions. Did you sleep through the Biden administration?
Where he revoked the press credentials of 442 journalists?
Oh, my God. I mean, the list would take us all day if we go down this list of him violating the norms. Let's talk about the fact that he pardoned his whole family.
Yep.
His whole crime family.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many things that you can go down the list that Biden did that could be considered, you know...
We don't even know what was actually legal.
Well, not to mention...
I mean, staffers probably signed his signature.
Yes, exactly. We don't even know who was running the White House. And, you know, there's inconsistencies in the signature, and there's all kinds of stuff.
I mean, the Obama auto pen thing was already presented enough constitutional... Now we have, like, full-blown coup here. That is a coup.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's about where we're at right now.
A lot of good news, though. Mostly good news.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're winning. We have the Dems beat into submission. They're demoralized. They don't know what to do. Yeah. Like
they find a message, they are going to continue to be like this chicken with their head chopped off running around D.C.
Well, and even when they think they have a message, it's not resonating because, one, the election just happened. This is what people voted for. This is what the American people voted for. And, of course, the liberals are going to be upset that we're restoring American greatness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really at the core of all of this. That's what it comes down to, is that they're upset that there's a new sheriff in town and their bullshit's not going to fly anymore. The gravy train is done.
Yep.
The extra constitutional environment that they created is done.
Yeah.
We're
cleaning it up. Now, the only people who can stop us is the Republicans. We have some budget reconciliation issues in the House right now. So,
well, and so that's a I did want to hit that before we wrap the show. Yeah. So that's essentially what the next big battle is. The confirmations are done. So now Congress is moving on to budgeting. And so I forget the exact date that the continuing resolution expires. I think it's in the later in March.
Yeah, it's
Right. I think it's like March 20 something, I think, because remember they did that right before Christmas.
Yep.
And it was a 3-month thing. So you have competing resolutions, right? But this is what you need to do to start the quote reconciliation process. Now, just a quick, rundown of what that is for everybody. The House passes a budget resolution. The Senate passes a budget resolution. Then you go into the, quote, reconciliation process where the two sides get together on one big circle commission, and they make one big beautiful bill, as Trump calls it, to you could put whatever the you want in it, essentially.
Yeah.
Just to sum that up, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
So
it's how they got Obamacare passed.
Yes, and you only need 51 votes to do it.
Yep.
You don't have to have the 60 votes on the Senate side. And so what they're doing in this reconciliation is they're supposed to, theoretically, if this goes as planned, they're supposed to address immigration and border security, the wall, all that stuff. They're supposed to hit taxes and extend the Trump tax cuts and revise a good chunk of the tax code. You have, no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security.
Yeah.
I'm hearing some rumors about a state tax being changed and
adjusting salt,
personal income tax. Yeah, they're going to give salt back to the Northerners, which, whatever. I don't agree with it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Those New York Republican seats are very important to our majority.
Yeah.
So
they need the salt.
They're going to get what they
need
want.
A little salt. Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other in there of all President Trump's agenda and enabling us to spend the money that we need to in order to fix all this.
We'll have a budget.
So, but they have to come to, first they got to pass the resolutions, which we're seeing a problem with in the House because we only have, a 3-seat majority right now before we get these special elections at the beginning of April. And, there's always a problem with that few votes in the House that us over and all that. So Mike Johnson's working on that. Hopefully he gets that figured out.
Yeah.
The Senate's fine. The Senate bill sucks. Lindsey Graham, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Ukraine, all bullshit's in there. That's going to get ripped out, I'm pretty sure. So then they have to pass the two resolutions. They go to the reconciliation. They create a whole essentially new bill from pieces of that. But because pieces were authorized, you can go back to that and do reconciliation. And then both sides have to re-vote on the reconciliation. And then poof, you have a budget.
Yeah. it's a long process.
That 3-minute summary was,
months.
Weeks.
Yeah, weeks, month,
They've been working on this a while already.
I don't know if you noticed in those 3 minutes, many avenues for derailment.
Yes, yes. And so that's where we're at currently. They need to pass these resolutions, get to the reconciliation, make the new bill, and pass it all before March, 22nd or 23rd, whatever the fuck it is. So that's going to be the big story of the next month. Of course, we will have full coverage for you on all of our great news sites. And we'll talk a lot more about the bills that come out of this when we come back for our episode in essentially 2 weeks. And so keep an eye on what's going on. Keep the pressure on your representatives, especially if you're in one of those districts, especially on the House side where these Republicans, and I use that sparingly, I guess, or air quote, Republicans are going to try to hold this up because, I'm sure there's going to be something in there that not everyone likes. But in general, we need the reconciliation to get our major agenda items done.
Yeah.
Taxes, border security, energy policy, all of that.
Yeah. Now's not the time to go all Patrick Henry.
Yeah. Yes. And keep an eye on foreign policy because there's a lot moving and shaking there. We didn't run down here, but keep an eye on Iran. That's all I will say.
Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be some strikes done there by the U.S. and Israel and potentially Saudi Arabia.
Ooh.
The Saudis were here
right
yesterday.
Wow.
The Saudis were here yesterday or the day before meeting with Pete Hegseth. The Minister of Defense was here, which is very rare.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a consensus forming and potentially a coalition to strike and take out all of Iran's nuclear facilities, which have now been placed on high alert by Iran. Did you see that Israel used the same jets that they used to take out Nasrallah, the Hezbollah leader,
funeral?
And they low-level buzzed the funeral? They should have just dropped a couple laser-guided bombs on that stadium because it was 70,000 terrorists there. So we missed an opportunity there, but that's okay.
Next time.
But yeah, lots going on, lots moving and shaking, and we didn't even really get to Russia-Ukraine. But I think that's coming to a swift resolution. But I also think that this is a key part of the Iran thing, because Iran has been sending weapons to Russia, ballistic missiles particularly. And so if we take out their missile sites and their nuclear facilities, and they're already facing an uprising at home, that weakens Putin's hand significantly. And it's essentially, I think, going to be used as a way to force him and a resolution to the Ukraine war to end. But did you see that Trump got us all of the mineral rights in Ukraine?
Yeah.
So that's a win right there.
Are freaking out about.
Oh, of course.
It's imperialism and all this other bull.
You know, a win for the United States, you know that the liberals are unhappy. Yeah. That's what it comes down
to. He can cure cancer. It's racism.
Yes. Well, you know, I've always said that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's just.
All right. If you have any comments, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. And if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off your membership into this exclusive club of patriots. I'm losing my voice, so I'm not going to run down the list of everything you get. You all know it.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
Great stuff.
And you will love it. I promise you will love it. Money-back guarantee. No Triggered listener has ever asked for it. There's so many Triggered listeners who are VIP members, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We couldn't do this show. We couldn't do anything we're doing here without the generous support directly of our VIP members. So if you want to get on the team and support what we're doing, we would really appreciate it. We love you all, and we will be back here not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. I got a new little vacation going to Florida. The Wednesday after, so I think that'll be March 12th, maybe. Yeah, March 12th, for another episode of Triggered.
Yeah.